Any of you ever gotten a phone call that says, "What are you doing right now?" "Well, I'm at home." "Well, I thought maybe if you were such and such, I needed you to go pick up something." Or somebody walks in and says, "Have you got any plans this afternoon?" And I said, "Well, I was going to do such and such." "Why?" "Because I need you to do such and such." I mean, anybody ever have those type of things occur? Sometimes it goes more like, "What are you doing right now? Will you be doing this later?" And you finally say to them, "What is it you want, or what is it you need? I mean, just blurt it out, will you? I just sort of need to know." Well, I want to talk today a little bit about how we can be of help, how we can meet needs, how we can meet the needs specifically of Jesus Christ, how we can meet the need of our Savior. Normally, I have you turn to a passage of Scripture, and we'll explore that passage and do other things with that. Today, which is going to be a little different, it's more talking about, like I said, about meeting the Master's needs. So I want to use some different verses to do that. John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verses 8 to 9. The setting is Jesus feeding the 5,000. But he hadn't got to the feeding them yet because all they do is they got a large group out here and they're all hungry. Well, Jesus begins to have a discussion with his disciples about how to solve the problem. And in verses 8 and 9, it says here, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Now, it doesn't tell us in that verse how long the time frame was between when Jesus started saying, "Hey, we need to feed people," and or they need to eat, and then they start saying, "We don't have enough money," and then all of a sudden Andrew says, "Well, I know a boy's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes." I mean, was the boy just standing right there? Did he already know ahead of time? We're not told a lot of the details, are we? So we're left to speculate a little bit. But right now, what we do know is that they need to do something. Jesus wants something done. So there's this boy standing ready with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Turn over to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 21, verses 2 and 3. Matthew 21. Verses 2 and 3. Jesus is talking here and he says to them, this is his disciples, specifically the 2 that he's going to send into the town. He says, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her by a colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord does what? Needs them," according to the NIV, "and he will send them right away." Again, the Lord needed something. Some scholars figure this was prearranged. Jesus had already talked to him about when the time comes, "I'm going to need this, so when my disciples show up, just let them have it." I'm more inclined to think once this man knew the Master needed something, he was acquainted with Jesus, but once he knew Jesus needed something, take whatever you need. In this case, take the donkey and the colt. So, again, we have a situation where Jesus needed something, and the need is being supplied. We'll come back to Matthew here in just a minute, but let's go over to the book of Luke. Luke 22. And if you'll go to verse 11. We'll actually pick up in verse 10 a little bit. He replied... Sorry, Luke, give you time to turn there. Luke 22, starting, let's say, in verse 10. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters. And say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations.' They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover." Once more, the Master needs something, and somebody's able to step up and provide it. So far, we've seen the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to help feed a multitude of people. We've seen the colt here. We've seen the fishes and loaves, the colt, and now the upper room. One final one, going back to Matthew 26. Picking up in verse 6. Matthew 26, picking up in verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were very indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will have always with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, whatever what she has done will also be told in memory of her." So once more, Jesus needs something. In this case, he is preparing for the crucifixion. Now, we've got about 6 days before that is going to occur. 6-7 days before that's going to occur. But what he's saying is they always prepared a body for burial. What she has done here is prepared his body for the burial 6 days ahead of time. This needed to be done. Jesus has it done. The woman provides the needs. So we've made this list here, four different situations, and there are other places we could have gone, but there are at least four instances here where somebody has provided something for the master in his time of need, in the time he needs something. Now, all of you have read the Psalms, and you know that the cattle on the thousand hills belong to who? To God. Everything we own belongs to who? You're not taking anything with you when you leave this world. You can fill out all the paperwork you want about where it's going to go after you're gone, but that doesn't mean everybody's going to carry out your wishes. But either way, it's not yours when you're gone. So you can't take it with you. It belongs to God. You came into this world with nothing, you're going to leave this world with nothing, except what you've stored up in heaven that counts there. So what you've got here now is what's supposed to be used for the master. Here, Jesus, these four instances, we see where Jesus had a specific need, and he went out and had those needs met by individuals. Well, this led me, as I was thinking about how I wanted I started exploring this thought about how we can be one who meets the needs of Jesus. When he has a need, I want to meet it. So I got to recognize these needs. But first of all, I got to decide, is this something I really want to do? Do I really care what the needs of my master are? Am I really motivated to find out what these needs are? Is it really that important to me? A verse came to mind. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And it's verses 1 through 5. Second Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And it says here, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." Now, for your background, if you're not picking up on exactly what's going on here, he's writing to the church at Corinth. Church of Corinth is in southern Greece. The Macedonian churches are up in northern Greece. We've got Berea, Philippi, and Thessalonica at least. So he says here, these churches up in Macedonia, he's referring to there. He says, "Now these brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given these Macedonian churches. Out of their most severe poverty, welled up in enriched..." I'm struggling today, I apologize. Out of their most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify, they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Now, he's telling the church down here in Corinth, look, these churches up here, they didn't have a whole lot, but they're giving beyond what anybody could have thought to help meet the need, because what they're doing is they're collecting an offering for the Judean churches, because they are really down on their luck, so to speak. They're really going through hardship. So we're collecting up an offering, so when we get there, we can help supply their daily needs. So these churches in Macedonia have given beyond anything you could have imagined. He goes on to say, in verse 4, they urgently plead with us for the privilege of sharing in the service of the saints. And then verse 5, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Now what I picked up from that part was this. The reason why these churches were helping to meet the need of Jesus' churches was because, first of all, they gave themselves fully to God. When you give yourself fully to God, completely to God, then the Master's wishes are going to be important, are they not? When somebody that important comes into your life, you care about what's going on with them. You care. Wife got home yesterday from the ladies' wild weekend, the retreat that they went on, and it was raining, and I knew as soon as she drove up, she was going to have something to unload. So I closed the curtains and went back in the other. No. I went out on the porch and said, can I help? You know, why would I even offer? Who's this strange lady that lives in my house? Yeah. I mean, my lifetime mate, right? I don't want to see her struggling. I don't want to see her getting all wet and bringing everything in. So, especially since it was leftover snacks. So, that's an aside, okay? When you got somebody you really care about, you're looking out for what their needs are. How can I meet those needs? Well, if we give ourselves fully, just like the Macedonian churches did, as they're being cited as an example to the Corinthian church, if you give yourself completely, fully to the Lord, then you're going to go about meeting the needs of Christ. Well, I also want you to look at Romans 12:1. Are we fully, absolutely committed? Romans 12:1 says, I'll give you a second there to get to it. Romans 12:1. Paul says there, therefore I urge you. King James, I think, says the word beseech you. I beseech you. I urge you. I mean, that's an emphatic. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, as you look upon the mercy of God and what He has done for you, I urge you to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifices. A living sacrifice never dies, like an animal sacrifice would if you offered it on the altar. A living sacrifice means it's continually being sacrificed to God, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do I want to do this? Am I sold out enough to God that I really want to meet needs? And am I committed to it with my full heart, soul, and mind? If I am, then that'll move me to start meeting the needs of Jesus. Now, are we aware of some of the current needs that Jesus has? What did He need in those four examples? Needed some food to what? Feed a whole bunch of people. Now, who could have imagined He could do that with just those 5 loaves and 2 fishes? But when you give your gifts, when you give your life, when you give what you have to God, He uses it beyond what you can even begin to think about. What did He do with the colt? It was needed for the triumphal entry. Those of you that are very observant, you know that fulfilled Old Testament scripture. Once more verifying that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. All the guy thought he had was a colt. But in the Master's hands, it fulfills scripture. What about in the upper room there? Why was it necessary to have the Passover meal? Have you read the account of what occurred there in that upper room? The sacrifice, all the teaching that's done there? He prepared those disciples, and because He prepared them well in the upper room, when the time came, they instituted the Lord's Supper for the whole church. Tremendous. Just a simple room, just given to Jesus. And the jar of perfume. I mean, all of us have got something, maybe sitting on a shelf, sitting somewhere in the house. We got it in our drawer, or whatever. It may not be something that you normally would think of that Jesus would throw. That'd be a wow factor for Jesus. A simple perfume. She just thought she was probably pouring it on Him for one purpose. Did she fully understand all the theology behind it? Probably not. But Jesus explained to everybody else that what she had done was basically preparing his body to be buried in the tomb, which eventually would await the resurrection. It, you know, are we aware of what Jesus' current needs are? Do we have our... Kids, bear with us old people. Does anybody remember my favorite Martian? I remember my grandparents telling me about it. What would happen? The antennas came up. All right. We often say, have you got your antennas on? Are you paying attention? Do you know what's going on? Those of us that struggled with the TV programs with the old rabbit ears, you get it finally just right. You got to get somebody to stand there and hold it sometimes, you know, something like that. But you finally can see the program. Got to get your antennas up. You got to start looking around. Are we really aware of what's going on in the area of what Jesus' needs are? What does Jesus need from you right now? What does he need you to do? Are you aware? Are you thinking about it? Are you praying about it? Are you searching scriptures for it? Are you asking fellow brothers and sisters, what do you think the Master wants me to do? What is his goal for me? What is his ambition for me today? Is it something menial, something just minor in the grand scheme of things? But look what he did with a perfume, a colt, just a room, and 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Here you are thinking it's something minor, and he turns it into a major. Do we have our antennas up? I ask a question also. Am I going to use my time, my talents, my assets, etc., to meet the needs of Jesus? Am I willing to do that? We often cut out things that Jesus maybe wants us to do because of time. Because what is taking our time? Everything else in the world wants our time. You know, I hate to see this happening, but it came on a number of years ago. We could tell it was going to happen. Used to be churches up in Delaware, for example, could hold Wednesday night Bible study and not compete with any school events. Would not have to worry about it. Everybody in the school administrations, everybody knew that was church night for most people, so they didn't schedule anything. There wasn't any ball games scheduled. If they were in the afternoon. But what eventually happens? You know, they start scheduling stuff. And parents I've had parents tell me this, I'm not going to bring the kids out to Wednesday night youth hour because they need to get to bed early and we got all this going on. But let them join a sports team on Wednesday night. Man, we're whipped and beat. We didn't get home till 9:30 from that sport thing. Well, I got home an hour ahead of you from my Bible study. You see where I'm going with this one? We'll invest our time wherever we want it to go. Satan's perfectly willing to take your time and use it for all kinds of things that will not leave this world. They'll be burned up with this world. You got to decide what you're going to do. What you're going to do with your time. My Master needs it. How can I provide it to him? Talents. You know, I don't get invited anywhere to sing. I mean, there's no question about that. Some people say, well, I don't have too bad a voice. I love the way they say that. You don't have too bad a voice. You know, it's bad, but it's not too bad. No, most people are very kind and everything. But the thing is, I love to hear people who've got the really talented to really sing. But I love it more when they sing to the glory of God. My dad played in a country western band. Before that, he was in a rock and roll band. But he played in a country western band for 40-some years. He went from being backup singer to lead singer. And he did a great job. I mean, I even got engaged by one of his songs that he was playing. But I trade every moment of that if I could just hear him sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." You know, or "I'll Fly Away." You know, just something like that. Just one day at a time. You know, you think of there's. I'd trade if because I know right now he's not interested in the things of God at all. What's your talent? How are you using it? Some of you are excellent teachers, and I know you're wore out from teaching during the week at school too. Well, we've been advertising. We need teachers. We're overtaxing the teachers we got. Ask the Master. Is God trying to tell me that I need to teach a little bit? That I need to maybe step out, maybe not every week, but maybe I can take one Sunday off somebody's back. Maybe I can help spread the load out a little bit. If you got one of those winsome personalities, hey, Ron, put me down for a greeter at the door. I'd love to greet people. I'd like to welcome them in, let them know that we're glad to see them, and on behalf of Jesus, here's what's going on. Just do that. Hey, Ron, I'm not much in some of this upfront stuff, but I can write letters. I can send cards. Can you give me a list of people that need to do that? And matter of fact, since you're kind of busy, can I sit down maybe and just write the list for you as you tell me who to do it? Yeah. I can write. I can encourage people. I can lift people up. Personal letter is a lot better than cards are nice, but personal letters are much better. That, you know, they just impact people more. But it's also nice to be able to read them to people. I got one the other day that I went shared with Miss Pat in the back there at her place where she was staying there at the facility. And just reading it to her and watching her just for a moment, her eyes lit up. Just for a moment. Right? So, what can I do? Maybe your manual labor is your thing. How can I use my manual labor? Well, maybe I can get up with Kim Sample here and say, look, I'll help cut the grass a little bit this year, or I'll mow the lawn, whatever you want to call it, or I'll get out there with the weed eater, or the ditches need working, I'll just come out to some and work on some of that. Or maybe I'll get up with Angela Gregory and say, look, I know you're struggling to get somebody on a regular basis to clean. I can't give you every week, but I can give you one every other week, a few hours. Maybe I can do that. What is the master? Is this just church stuff, or does the master need it? If the master needs it, and you got the capability, the talent, the energy, the willpower, the willfulness, whatever you want to come up with, if you got it in you, then offer it to the master and let him use it as he sees fit. You might remember in the book of Isaiah, it talked about the fact that they needed somebody to go and to preach. Somebody, please go and preach. What was Isaiah's response? Who said it? Here am I. Send me. God says, I need somebody. Isaiah didn't sit around and say, that one's better. He's got a better voice. That one has more knowledge. That one's been doing it longer. That one's certainly much more capable than I am. He didn't dump it on anybody else. What did he say? Here am I. Send me. So, if the master needs 5 loaves and 2 fishes, are you ready? And if you got them? If you happen to have a colt, and the master needs it, are you ready? If you happen to have a room for him to have a meeting in, where he can meet with his disciples the night before he's betrayed and have the Passover meal, institute the Lord's Supper, do you have a room ready for him? Do you have a jar of perfume that we can anoint his body with in preparation for his death, burial, and resurrection? Would you give that to him? Well, I have a hunch right now he doesn't need those 4 items anymore from anybody. He's already got them. But you have something that he needs, and it needs to be used for him, for his honor, and for his glory. So, Jesus, what do you need from me? What do you need from us? What do you need from your church? Here we are. We stand ready. Let us know. Well, if you're not sure of the plan of salvation, you got to believe Jesus is the Christ. That's what they taught. Those who believed accepted the message, and they asked what they should do. They were told, repent and be baptized. Repent of your sins. Repent of the life you've lived outside of Christ, outside of God. Repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. He'll meet you in the watery grave there. He'll provide you the forgiveness of sins that you seek. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. Your name will be written down forever in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make that decision today. If you're already an immersed believer, and many of you are, you already made that decision. You already got immersed into Christ. And you've somehow slid back into some sort of sinful state, repent of it and ask God for forgiveness. Recognize your sin. Don't rationalize it. Don't explain it away. Say, God, I am a sinner. Be like a tax collector in the temple. God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful, please. God will do that. If you need our prayer support, come, we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're already an immersed believer, but for some reason you haven't placed your fellowship yet, place your fellowship. Join with us. For the rest of us, let's get to the mission. Let's get the work done. We're here to get equipped so we can go out and get the job done for Jesus Christ. Now, if I haven't answered all your questions and you want to talk afterwards, you want to discuss things, that's fine. I'll be glad to talk with you. Don't feel the pressure. You have to come up here right now. But do think about what God wants you to do and make that decision appropriately.